Is it?
Yeah, it just says red.
No, it's
red. Yeah. It's red. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen. There's the anointing. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, here we are again. I'm so excited. My lovely bride is with me at the behest and at the demand of Kim, who threatened me in January. Don't you ever come here without her again. And so she texted me the other day, is she coming? I said, yes, ma'am. I heeded your warning. Hallelujah. 49 years. We're in our 50th year, glory to God, December the 2nd. Look what I had to put up with all that time. Yeah, Lord. Let's lift our hands to the Lord one more time. Father, we thank you tonight in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus for once again being in the house of God with our family, where the goodness of God is in high manifestation, where the love of the Lord is dynamic and evident, loving one toward another. So we step into this forum of truth, this arena of faith, and declare what thus saith the Lord. For in these days of testings, we shall have to be grounded soundly in the Word of God. So we lend ourselves completely and totally to the great Spirit of God, the teacher himself, who lives on the inside of every believer. Our tongues are anointed. Our hearing is anointed. We stand in great awe of what you've decided to do this night. So from this very time on, let us walk in the aisles of the supernatural. Let the goodness of God manifest via the scriptures of God. We be careful to give you all the rest. Sore beginis palasudamondinge. Negezolo bombra aladonke. Seturo bojite le mara eledon. Regelo rogide de maschitea. Hasoto non robegin de desce pedeson. Nere sotoro. Negringe ele manzo oledonge. Nero bojite le danzo mondo le sambra ele dengue. Che talo ro dengue ele deze mandolo ze manganere. Hallelujah. Surely, 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 says the Lord of hosts, times of testings have bent you but not broken you. So has it been in the past, so will it be in the future. For you've not passed all the testing, but you've passed the test that's been given you. So you stand firm in the faith. And know in the days to come, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You stand against every ward and enemy's advance. You fight the good fight of faith and determine that you're the winner in advance. And those days are these days, says the Lord of hosts. And you know not what's coming around the other corner, but you're ready for it. So shall it be with you all the days of your life. For I shall water you with the glory of God in ways others have not yet seen and or witnessed because of your faithfulness to me, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Well, we'll get over there if you let me, Lord. Whew. Glory. Whew. Man. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Well, turn in your Bibles to the first book of Timothy. Whew. Man. Chapter number 6. Oh, the thoughts of men. Good Lord. How you going to interrupt that? Amen. It seems good to the Holy Ghost. Has seemed good to me in times gone by 25 years ago or thereabouts, 23 years ago, I think it was. I ministered something along this line, never revisited it again. And a few months ago, the Spirit of God directed me, little did I know, that I'd be here for a season. Directed me to teach in this area, and I made a statement 2 weeks ago in Pawnee, Oklahoma. And unless he moves me off of this, I'm not moving. I will stay with this genre, with this area of teaching, until he says, do otherwise. So we're stuck for a minute. Can you say amen? 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and we'll read verse number 12. It states, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession among how many witnesses? A few? One here and there? Many. Everybody say many. Many, many witnesses. That's going to have great import before it's all over. So he's telling us here, fight the good fight of faith. And you folk in Buras and Plaquemine Parish know what fighting is all about, don't you? You've had to fight and fend for yourselves in ways that other folk have not even, north of you, have not even thought about. But yet you've prevailed. Why? Because the Lord's with you. He's on your side. I was sharing with Ethan today, when Katrina hit, we were ministering up in Donaldsonville. And I remember, you know, the Exodus that had been going on. We had a four-day meeting, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, actually through Wednesday. It became evident we were going to have a Sunday night service, you know, because it was rolling. And I remember I was sharing with him, we were communicating with you as to how to get out of there. And I think we said, we'll take 18, and we met you on the backside of the levee. And I told him, you know, what was the likelihood of doing this mass exodus? I get to walk out of my hotel and go and see some folk that I love on the way out of disaster. So we wrote that thing out. But see, the good fight of faith is we're going to define it via the Bible. We're not going to make any definitions up. He's told us to fight the good fight of faith. Now, he who flees gets to fight another day. In other words, you could have said, well, I ain't leaving here, glory to God, and been under 25 feet of water. So your fight wasn't a natural fight. You had to rely on the deliverance of the Holy Ghost himself. And so you took your exit, settled down, and months later, re-inhabited this place that's better than it's ever been. And it's going to get a whole lot better, right? Because you fight the good fight of faith. Somebody shout amen here. Give me a Pentecostal nod or something. Amen? So he says, fight. The Greek word agonomiza. And it means to prevail against oppositions and temptations with certain toils and pains while striving for the mastery. But you're prevailing against certain toils and certain oppositions and temptations with certain toils and pains. You go through stuff. Believers go through stuff. Amen. Well, how is it that we got to go through all of this, man? We love the Lord. And, we're kind of talking. And I remember that very day. Well, 3 days later, we couldn't get a hold of anybody. And I called Brother Brogdon and had to find out whether he heard from you. He hadn't. And so we're scurrying around trying to find out where you were and what was going on. I remember when we finally got a hold of you, you said the guy from the marina had gotten a helicopter and said that the land was reclaimed by the Gulf. Remember that? And that was a sad thought when it hit my bed. Well, what? The land? And John Brogdon got on the internet searching and searching and searching and found one picture of Boothville High standing. Somebody shout amen. They ain't standing on the water, standing on the land. So the enemy is going to give you all kinds of reports. But you better believe the report of the Lord. Somebody shout glory here. Well, obviously then, we're in a fight. But the Bible says it's a good fight. And the only good fight is the one that you do what? That you win. Amen? So we're already prevailing against the circumstances. And it doesn't necessarily look like it when you're doing it. but you're fighting the good fight of faith. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Verse number 5. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. And if a man also strive for the masteries, he's striving for the mastery with certain toils and pains against opposition and temptations, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, there are parameters and borders and legal boundaries in which you fight the good fight of faith. You can't do it your own way. You can't just elect to, I'm just going to stand in. You're going to stand on the legality and the sanctions of the Lord. Amen? George Foreman could not fight Roberto Duran. No matter how much he wanted to, he could not fight him. It wouldn't be sanctioned by the boxing authority. It's illegal. You cannot fight the good fight of faith on your own terms. The laws have been laid how you fight them. Now, here's the issue. If you have a pillow fight, what do you use? If you have a water fight, what do you use? A faith fight, what's required? You got to have it. You can't go into it with nothing else but faith to be sanctioned by the Lord. Are you listening to me? Well, obviously, we've tried to do this without having sufficient faith or any faith because we heard what someone else did or what someone else, and we didn't go by our own, by his requirements for us to have our own faith. You can't ride on anybody else's faith. You can't. Nobody can have faith for you. And it's called the good fight of faith. That means I'm winning. Well, it's obvious then I'm going to have to acquire. That's a whole other lesson in itself. Your faith comes by hearing by the word of God. It's another lesson, but you have to have it. So if I've got it, I qualify. It's a prerequisite for me to fight the fight of faith. If I don't have it, I've already disqualified myself. Got nothing to do with the Lord or the devil, for that matter. I self-disqualify by not acquiring the faith I need to fight the good fight of faith. And when I do, it's obvious that something is going to miss. It's got nothing to do with this book or this Lord that we serve or the Spirit that's already in us. You can be born again and have born again faith and nothing more than that. I know. I lived it from 12 to 34 years old. Saved and born again. Couldn't faith my way out of a wet paper bag. Are you listening to me? What does that mean? Well, go back to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And let's see some, we'll see some enemies of faith and some things that actually have caused us to maybe draw back a little bit concerning faith. Chapter 1 and verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's the triad of Christian living. That tripod of Christian living literally is required for every believer. For you to walk in victory, you're going to have to, we can teach on all of, you're going to have love out of a pure heart. You're going to have a good conscience and unpretentious or unfaked faith. Are you listening to me? Because people will, you can't hang around folk and get faith. It's not associative. I'll lean on you and get a little bit. Amen? It's not going to work that way. So then, if I'm doing that, that means I'm feigning faith. And the Bible requires unfeigned faith, the unpretentious faith, the unfaked faith. And faith, you know, to some degree, you know, it has been a movement. Well, when did it start moving? On the face of the deep. Can you say amen? Not when somebody came along and started teaching on it. That is not all of a sudden we got a trend or a doctrine we're going somewhere with. This has been here for thousands of years. It's always been required of man. So obviously then there's some sort of attitude that we've had concerning faith that makes it stylish, contemporary. Let's get on that faith wagon. But if it's fake faith,
unfeigned faith, you're going to pay a tremendous penalty. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good early. Amen. In other words, we can't assimilate faith by hanging out with folks. You can't assimilate it by just reading a good book on it. You're going to have to get in here, get it for yourself, act it out for yourself, and God will bless you through it. So he says here, now, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Some having swerved. We just had a run here the 1st of November. New Jersey, went to West Virginia, New York, Erie, Pennsylvania, and a number of places in New York to minister. Well, Interstate 80, across the upper tier of the United States, out of all the highways, interstates we've been on, 2 million miles worth of driving, there's one stretch in America where there are deer on the side of the road like dogs every now and then. I mean, you go through that and you see carcass after carcass after carcass after carcass, which means a lot of fender work, you know, a lot of auto body shop prevalent in that community, in that area. And that's hundreds of miles. And during the rut, this time of year, actually in November, the early rut, I mean, you see bodies all over the place, of carcasses all over the place. Well, we're kind of aware of that. At a time or two, I've had to swerve to miss that deer. It means not aiming at on purpose. They've swerved concerning faith, not aiming at on purpose. That's not good. Can you say amen here? Some having swerved, I don't want to deal with that faith stuff. And it's required of you to have it. And they've made the mistake of someone had some bad taste in their mouth because some Wile E. Coyote School of Ministry graduate, amen, has gotten a hold of some crazy doctrine and teaching it backwards. And now I don't want nothing to do with that faith stuff. Guess what? That's the stuff you need. Can you say amen? If you're justified, you're called to do what? Walk and live by it. And without it, you can't live the life of faith. So obviously, we got to get a balance here. We got to bring this thing into perspective. So he says here, they've turned to vain jangling, designed to be teachers of the law. Motive, impure motive. Check it out. Why do you want to get a hold of whatever subject matter, Bible subject? Because you want to be a teacher and not called to be one. It amazes me how many people will think all of a sudden, I think I'll do that, minister. I think I'll be a pastor. They need to talk with you a minute, amen? It's absolute nonsense to try and go to the ministry uncalled. It's tough enough called. And to be uncalled and to desire to be, listen, the desire to be teachers of the law. Look at what it says next. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Meaning what? They don't know what they're talking about and they don't know where they got it. But it sounds good, so I'll repeat it. I'll parrot it. I'll say it because so-and-so said it. I'll teach it because so-and-so teached it or taught it. Can you say amen? That's the problem. And now we get what we call an aberrant theology. It's a hybrid. It's tainted. It's mixed with some. It's an admixture, and it's not pure. I need a Pentecostal wave on that one, amen? It's not pure. And so you're trying to put something into your life that's not pure and try to live off of it, and it just comes apart. Anybody ever witnessed that? And all of a sudden, that didn't work. Well, it couldn't work. That's like putting the wrong proportions of cement and sand and water together. It'll hold together for a little bit. When pressure's on, it's going to crumble. I'm preaching better than y'all, amen, and right now, amen. Glory to God. All right. So now, but look at what he says here in verse number 19. Now, first of all, he said, lay hold on eternal life. Now, he says, holding faith and a good conscience which some having put away, what? Concerning good conscience? Concerning what? Concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now, y'all know about shipwrecks. Amen? You don't want to wreck a ship because you can't step out on land. Amen? Everybody's going to go down. Have made in the lives that have been destroyed from aberrant teaching or misteaching of any biblical subject, particularly concerning our subject tonight, concerning faith, have made people shipwreck. But that doesn't do away with the fact that I need to live by it. Amen? And because I'm justified, I'm supposed to live by it. So I got to look at how I can get past the stupidity, because you can't fix stupid. Amen? And get to the germane or the necessary aspect of putting this into my life so that I can walk by faith. Now you take this. I said this not too long ago. When the Lord called us, it would have been nice to sit in Southern California, glory to God, and go to Bible school, commute back and forth, and glory to God, set up and do. He didn't do that. He said, go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Okay. My son said, Dad, well, where's the beach in Oklahoma? I said, son, you failed geography. There ain't no beach. There ain't no beach. How am I going to live? I don't know. You'll survive. Packed up everything. You heard the story years ago. Took everything, went. And from that point on, I said, okay, Lord, if you call me to do this, and I submit to you in every aspect, learn of your ways, you sustain me in it. Can you say amen? These 31, 32 years later, he's been faithful. And I'm still learning. Glory to God. Somebody shout amen. It takes just that. A willful giving over and learning how to live by faith. Oh, I'm going to get it. All right, so he says here in that 20th verse, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy 2 again. We read verse number 17 when we get over there. 2 Timothy 2 and 17. It says here, and their word, Hymenaeus, and now he's got another fellow called Philetus, might be the same guy, I don't know. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth, stop. John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Concerning the word, what happened? Have erred. And wherever you err, it's where you don't know the word. Can you say amen? Saying that the resurrection has passed already, and overthrow, or make shipwreck the faith of some. Can you say amen here? Well, obviously then, if we give in to that stuff, whatever it might be, and we don't know the word of God ourselves, and buy into it, we'd be one of those that are shipwrecked. And I determined early on, from the time I realized in 1980, I'd not been lied to by my church upbringing. I just wasn't told anything. I didn't have any bad doctrine. I had no doctrine. Nothing. Zilch. Warm and fuzzy, but I had nothing. No bad doctrine. I didn't have to relearn anything because I hadn't learned anything. But when it began to be obvious to me that they had dropped the ball concerning teaching me how to live by faith, I realized right then, I knew nothing about ever coming into the message. If there's ever anything that I can do to help folks see this, little did I know, he's going to say, come and do it all over the world. Amen? We started with our family, though. Every one of us in our family, first cousin, brother, sister, siblings, we went to every one of them. 6-week course. We taught them all over Los Angeles about the simple things of the kingdom of God. Being really born again, starting there. What salvation is. What righteousness is. Listen, that's the faith life itself. It's not all of a sudden you trying to claim something. You live something. Can you say amen? Oh, man, I ought to get over there. All right, so now, all right. This is the 4-part teaching. I'm going to go to part number three. Because if I stay up here, I'll be trying to get to part number one all night long. Because I can't get off of this. I absolutely love it. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we looked at. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we'll just kind of do our best to stay on point here and stay with the notes. I've never been successful in the past, but I'll try tonight for the first time. You will be the very first card that's ever happened to. Amen. Verse number 25 in chapter number 9 of 1 Corinthians. And every man that striveth for the mastery, remember, we're striving for the mastery, prevailing against certain oppositions and temptations with certain toils and pains. Everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in some things. In what? In all things. Temperance is not something you have to acquire if you're born again. It came in the seed of the new birth. Wow, you brother, you understand. I just got to get better. Here we go. I got to get some patience for that person. I just give me some patience. You already got that. You already have it. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. You have to practice what you already have. Put into practice what you already have. That's the test of life for us. You never have to acquire something God already gave you, but you have to implement it, use it, practice it, and then you become efficient at it. You don't need to acquire any patience. You already got patience. You need not acquire any temperance. You've got it. I said you've got it. And you're supposed to be temperate in some things? No, not intermittently, not occasionally, in all things. And we're all striving for the mastery there. Can you say amen? But I've got to learn to put into practice what I've already learned out of the Scripture and what I teach. Well, now, you say, well, brother, I do my best. Well, we don't need your best. It hasn't measured up yet. Let's get God's best. Can you say amen? Manifested through you, through us, preacher included, at the top of the list. I'm working on it every day. I've got a witness of one in the house will tell you so. Bless his holy name. Amen. All right. Now, having said that, I want you to go, because something here that we miss a lot concerning faith. Romans chapter number 4. And we'll do our best to make this relevant to the point where we're not going to extend it, because I could stay here all night long, 4th chapter of Romans. The book of Romans is what 2.5 years when I rededicated my life in 1980, August 1980. For 2.5 years, I never left the book of Romans. Every time I opened the book, it was right there. The whole chapter of Romans, the whole book of Romans, chapter number 8 in particular. So, chapter 8, it says here, we understand this, Romans chapter 8, and verse number, let's read 17 and 18, starting at 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What did I say? I said 8? Romans 4, yeah, Romans 4. Why did I? Because I'm stuck in 8. All right. This is only 30 years later. All right. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. All right. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, and before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were. Who, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now look at it. Textually and contextually, we would have a problem if we didn't understand. Well, we do have a problem when we don't understand this. We go to the 17th verses. It is written, I have made thee a father. Not going to make thee. I have made thee a father of many nations. He believed against hope that he might become a father of many nations. He's already made a father of many nations. Now, you got to understand it, and I know you do. We're OT here, Old Testament. We got a man who's become the father of faith, according to Galatians. We're the father of the children of Abraham. We see this encounter with him concerning this aspect. But before he left Padanaran and all those areas, he had to believe God back then. being a moon worshiper, and the sky starts talking to you. The sky is talking to you. Abram. He's got the supernatural already in place. He's worshiping the moon. He believes in the supernatural. God is a capitalist. He capitalized on whatever you think you already have, and he'll modify it and make the truth out of it, and you'll see what it really is. Supernatural. Hey, Lutcher, Louisiana, Haiti in the northern hemisphere, are the center, epicenter of voodooism outside of Africa and all the other nations. Lutcher, Louisiana, and Haiti. That kind of filtered down to New Orleans, didn't it? My brother, was many years ago, he's going to be with the Lord, came home from Baton Rouge, and he was one of those, I mean, you'd see him every 10 years. I mean, he's just 35 miles of the road. He wouldn't even come home. He just broke in the house one day sweating. My mom said, son, what's wrong? I'm like, oh, what's the matter? He said, oh, that woman. That woman. What woman? He said, I came home, and I had to duck under crow feet and chicken feet and feathers. He was out of there, buddy. She had a mojo working, amen? We know spirits are alive in Louisiana. Ain't no wonder about the supernatural. We got demons to supply the rest of the world with if we needed to. So he takes that opportunity. Okay, you believe in the supernatural? Let me show you the real supernatural.
Yes. Yes.
It takes faith to live that way. Somebody shout amen here. You got to get past your ability and naturalism to live by faith. All right. So who against hope believed in hope. This has been taught through the years, and I bought into it, that Abraham, in spite of not having hope, believed in hope anyway. So wrong. Well, when you see against hope, you think, okay, that has to be. I mean, by definition, it's against, right? Well, let me help you here. At 12 years old, my dad bought me a new bicycle for the first time. Oh, man, it's Christmas morning. I came down, Brother Jesse, there it was, under the tree. Red and white, big white wall tires. Had a horn, beep, beep, had a flashlight, had reflectors. Man, it was my lowrider before lowriders were even here. I got on that bike. I drove that bike, rode that bike. It became an extension of me. Like these boats are extension of these guys. I mean, you know, it's just like it did whatever I wanted it to do. I could eat on it. I could ride it backwards. I could stand on it. It was an extension of me. And we had this long, long backyard. And we had a gate that had a spring on it. You open it and swing back in them. And I'd come home from playing, going home to get me some lunch and meat sandwich or something. And I'd ride up to that gate and I'd bump it with the bike. Bump it like that and I'd ride through before it closed. I had it numbing. Boom. Hey. Right onto the back of the yard. I turn around. Our porch was way back. And I'd ride as fast as I could. And right before I got to the porch, I'd jump off of that bike. They were just kind of going its own, lose inertia, lose energy, and finally lean up against the fence every time, same spot. Didn't need no kickstand. I mean, I just everything. I go inside and get my lunch and meat sandwich. Amen. Come back out and go ride again. Now listen to me. That bike, when it leaned against the fence wasn't fighting it. I've been leaning against this table. I've leaned against that podium. Against is a position of rest. Abraham rested in the promise of God. Finally, he rested in the promise of God. Are you listening to me? And this is what we have to do. Realize God's not against us. He's for us. The promises are yes and amen in him. Somebody shout amen here. Meaning this then. When I got a promise of God, I lean on it. I'm not fighting it. I'm not hastening or trying to make it come to pass. But I'm resting in assurance that it's going to come to pass. My point is to be faithful in all my doing. And to live by faith and to not upchuck what I say with my mouth by my deeds that are not in line with what I just said. Can you say amen to that? So obviously there's something going on here because we're fighting what we call the good fight of faith. Well then, but what is that?
It could be we might think, well, we just read this. Calling those things or being as though they were, that sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, that's it, I'm in faith.
Well, that's good, but it's not the fight of faith.
I know. Mark 11:23,
thou shalt say to this mountain, be thou removed. Cast to the seashell and down the sun. That's it. You shall have whatever he saith. That's wonderful. That's not the good fight of faith.
The Bible defines what it is, and this is critical.
And it takes some time for me to get here, but I've come to the conclusion, I want to get this up front here. The Bible is its best concordance. It's the best homiletic. It's everything. It defines everything. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's where it is. And find out what this is. The good fight of faith is couched in a Bible principle that nobody has to strain at. You need not be a Bible school graduate to see this. As a matter of fact, you're going to see it as clear as anything as you've ever seen in the Word of God. What is the good fight? We're answering the question, what is the good fight of faith? Well, verse number 7 says, I have fought a good fight. Stop there. Paul tells Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. He would not be worth his weight as a mentor, as an apostle, as a teacher, as a preacher of righteousness, if he didn't do what he's telling Timothy to do. Can you say amen? So he tells him, I have fought a good fight. Well, how do you know that? He says here, I have finished my course, and here's the key to it. Bible definition, I have kept the faith. The good fight of faith is not believing for something, believing in something. The good fight is simply this, continuing to believe after having believed. Well, I could take off on that one, amen? It is never ever desisting or coming off of what you proclaim that the Word of God promised you. If you believe it, you continue to believe it in the face of circumstances. Oh, man. I was a young man. My dad was an avid fight fan. You know, it had a thing called the Gillette Wednesday night fights when I was a kid. And we'd watch the fights together. I remember people like Kid Gavilan, Bobo Olsen. I mean, they were people that you never read, but they were great fighters in middleweight and welterweight. But back in those days, they were heavyweights like Ezra Charles and people like that. Yet, there was a guy that came along, and I saw him come up in his prime. His name was Sugar Ray Robinson, the greatest fighter pound for pound anybody had ever seen, even including Muhammad Ali. That's exactly where Ali got his style from. Sugar Ray Leonard got his style from Sugar Ray Robinson. This guy had fought welterweight, he fought middleweight, he fought anybody who ever won a fight. He was just that good. But he took on a guy named, what was his name? Carmen Basilio from upstate New York. Carmen Basilio had never been knocked down nor knocked out. Just a hard guy. He didn't have a great record, but he was just a hard fighter. He fought for the championship back in those days with 15 rounds. No 3 knockdown rule. You fought till somebody bled to death or somebody just fell out, all right? And I mean, it was just brutal back then. So they were fighting, and it was a tough fight. I remember the week later after the fight, it would be in the local theater. You listen to it on the radio. A week later, we'd go to the movie and pay for it and see it. Well, we listened to it, my dad and I, and we went to the theater, or I know I did, the following week to see it. Well, finally, we got to see what the fighters looked like. But let me tell you something. That was the most brutal fight that I'd ever seen. They banged each other for 15 rounds, just banged on each other. And when you looked at it, you could not determine who the winner was by observation, because they both looked like losers. Are you listening to me? All blooded up. Basilia was going around. His eyes were closed. He's trying to swear. I mean, Ray Leonard was moving his hair just to see what he could hit it with. It was absolute craziness. What's the point? Someone had to be declared the winner. Can you say amen? And it doesn't look like you're winning many times while you're winning. Nobody can observe what you're going through and tell you that you must be losing because it looks like you're not winning. It doesn't matter. Somebody shout amen. It does matter what you look like when you're going through your winning trial. Hallelujah. That means this. I'm not going to take anybody's word for whether I'm a winner or not. It looks like I'm down, but I'm actually up. It may look like I'm losing to the observation from the outside, but I know on the end, but I'm winning. Why? Because I never be dissuaded of what I was persuaded of. And so we said Abraham was fully persuaded. Well, think about it. Am I fully persuaded? Only you can answer that. Can you say amen? Either I am or I'm not. I'm not halfway persuaded. You forget that. If I'm fully persuaded, then I hold fast to what my profession of faith actually is. It's based on the promise of God. And here, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, man. Whew. Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll just kind of clear this up as we wind down. Now, you know winding down is a relative term. You know that now, right? And we're working our way into the wind down mode. Bless the Lord. And he says here in the 10th chapter, oh, Lord, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Our is italicized in the King James, just a profession of faith. Declare it, seal it with your faith, and leave it alone. Can you say amen? Don't continue to explain to people why it hasn't happened yet when they're inquiring of you what you believe. I just believe God, and that's it. Amen? He says here, hold fast profession of faith. Without wavering. You know what James says about that guy? Let him not think he'd get anything from God. I can't, but by definition, these are things we call mutual excludes. If I'm wavering, I'm not holding fast. If I'm holding fast, I'm not wavering. Can you say amen? And I elect to hold fast and not waver. But it doesn't look like Robinson was the winner, but he was. He was as bloody. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to be careful here. The devil ain't going to beat you up. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, lift up our countenance. Those hands that hang down. You lift, glory to God. I'm a winner. I'll never forget, we were in Bible school. And we had left California. We left the rental property out there. And the folks stopped paying the rent. Now we got, I have no job. Take it back, I got a job. I'm a DJ on a Christian station. And they told me, it says, since your voice is so good, we're going to give you a big raise when you come in. Our regular guys get so-and-so, but I'm going to give you $5 an hour. I thought, woo, I made it now. $5 an hour. I thought, what is other fellas getting? Amen. $5. I told her, honey, we cook it now. I go on that session every night, listen to those, and play those songs, those uplifting songs, because I get report after report. We would get report after report. They haven't paid, and the mortgage company was calling. You're going to lose this property. You're going to lose this property. I never forget, I walked to the restaurant one morning and said, now, Lord, you didn't send us here to go back. I can go back and take care of it. I can drop out of school and go back and take care of it. I didn't come here to do that. I came here to learn of you, to go into your ministry, and I'm not going back to fix that. That's that. And boy, I'm telling you, it got to the point where our finances took a nosedive. We sold our other property. We're living on that, paying our tuition, and my $5 an hour. Glory to God. And I'm thinking, what's the end of this thing? Guess what happened? The guy called and told me, he said, listen, I'm talking to Arch Company. You got to do something. I said, well, nothing we can do. All of a sudden, our CPA we had, he said, who's been doing your taxes? He says, this is absolutely crazy. In California, they've robbed you. And one swipe of a pen, we came on one day, and the mailbox was stuffed. The mailbox was bloated with checks. Bless the Lord. I mean, we opened that thing and just checks start falling out there. Oh, Lord. Sent the money off, took care of the thing, sold the property, never had to leave. Why? Now listen, if you don't believe you're called, if you don't believe you're supposed to be here, you go back and fix stuff in the natural. Can you say amen? I couldn't do it. If it meant, so be it. But you got to come to your end of you for faith to come into place. Can you say amen? And when we did, he stepped in, glory to God, sold the property later on, and everything was all right. What does that mean? It means this. I can fix some things if I elect to. I have to let go of faith to do it. And I choose not to do that. Can you say amen? Hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. So, go to the 35th verse. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense. Wait a minute. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Where's my confidence? In his will. Not in mine, but in his will. I believe in his will, believe in his word. I'm casting not away my confidence. Amen. I'm holding fast to my profession of faith until the end without wavering. And I guess what? I have great expectation of seeing the victory that I'm believing for. That's what it's all about. It's not just faith is the essential for the new birth, the essential post the new birth. You can't get born without it. You can't live without it once you're born again. Can you say amen here? And for you to try and me to try to do something other than the prescription to live by it is ludicrous. But what happens? We get liturgical mindsets, liturgy, form and format. This is what you do. We abandon the formula. And we abandon the formula, we abandon the victory. We start living by sight and not by faith. Can you say amen? We start living by our sensory realm, hearing then, putting everything, what we see, what we sense. That is not the life of faith. I'm telling you tonight, we're just scratching the surface here. And we'll try to bring this thing home in the morning in the sense that I think it will literally make you understand. Many of you, for the first time, some of you may even know these things. But when you bite into it and keep it afresh, the life of faith is not some option, is not a selection that you can implement or not implement if you want to be a kingdom-minded person. You have got to live by faith. Obviously, we can do a lot of other things and look like it. We can have this pretentious faith. Remember what Paul tells Timothy? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. How do you know it's unfeigned? Because he's the one who taught him. Before that, Lois and Eunice were in his life. His mother and his grandmother. He was the third. Paul observed faith when he met the boy. And his grandmother and his mother is generational. You have an obligation with your young families to pass that on. Even though you're talking about the fact that, I'm up in my 60s, whatever, my kids, you can stop right where you are and begin to live by faith and affect your family pod. Somebody say amen here. It's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to live by faith. Amen. Amen? You can live by faith on your way out of here, but I don't want it that way. Yeah. I want to walk in the victory while I'm on earth. Somebody shout amen here. Obviously, then, we got great depth concerning this, but the simplicity of it is simply this. You continue to believe after having believed. That's the good fight of faith, and you're winning. Can you say amen? Let's stand. Father, I thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've given us a gate or a portal to step into concerning the life of faith. There is no way we can belittle or degrade any way this essential entity called faith. Yet at the very same time, it's been so misappropriated, so misused, misaligned, has been hijacked, as it were, to the point where it's caused, you know, almost people to get stymied in their desire to even learn about faith. But I thank you, Lord, that you and you alone can import us in a way that no teacher, no man of any kind, can Bible scholar or book can do. It requires us being completely honest and surrendering to you, like we said tonight. We surrender all of our dreams and everything that we had on the table. We surrender it all to you to live by faith. And by so doing, Lord, you honor your word concerning it, and we become the victor and not the victim. For that we give you glory, honor, and praise in the wonderful and magnificent name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah and amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're born of the Spirit tonight, saved by the blood of Jesus, and you know it. Would you raise your hand? Believer's hand should be in the air right now. Amen. If you're not born again, don't know it. Okay? You can be. Hands are down, heads are bowed, eyes are still closed. Anybody like that tonight who's not saved but want to be saved, want to become a Christian tonight at all? Amen. All right. Well, say this with me. Let your heart agree. I am now actively engaged in the biblical principle of the good fight of faith. That is, I continue to believe after having believed. I am never, 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 never dissuaded of which I was persuaded. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. If we can pray for anybody for anything, we're certainly open to that. Glory to God. If not.